Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the 10th chapter of Hebrews. When Peter sought a message from God, he went up under the rooftop and prayed. They didn't have recorded messages like we have in today's world. I didn't go up onto the rooftop. I'm not real good on ladders. So I listened to a message by Pastor David Edmondson last Sunday. And I'll be right honest with you. A lot of what I've got to say this morning is exactly what he said from his pulpit last Sunday. So if I'm not good at it, please, please, I encourage you to go listen to him. He's a whole lot better at this message than I am. But there were some points that he brought out that hit home. Grabbed a hold of me. And the Lord said, that's a message I got to preach on. And I've been thinking about it all week long after I listened to it. Are you in the book of Hebrews chapter 10? Will you look with me at verses 19 through 25? Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We enter into the holiest of holies. You remember in the old days, in the temple of God, there was a section for the congregation to be in the temple, and then there was these big, huge, heavy, thick tapestries hanging down in the middle. They called them the veil. And inside that section of the temple was the holiest of holies. Only one could go in there, and he could only go in once a year. He went in as the representation of the whole congregation, and he had to have blood with him. And inside that room was the mercy seat. Now we know who that's a picture of, don't we? The very Lord and Savior of all of His people, our mercy seat, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He would go into that holiest of holies and sprinkle that blood of the Lord Jesus Christ on the mercy seat. But when the Lord Jesus Christ died on that cross, that temple, that veil was rent. And it opened the door for all of God's people to approach His throne. The blood of God washed all the sins of His people away. Every sin that we've ever committed, every sin that we shall commit, every sin that we'll commit this very day.
Amen.
Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He hath consecrated for us through the veil. That is to say, His flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Amen.
I want to talk to you folks this morning about exhorting one another. Lifting each other up. That's not easy to do, especially in times of losing a loved one. How do we lift up a sister in love? How do we lift up a brother in love? How do we encourage one another to stand strong in the faith? This is my heart's desire. This is my thought as I prepare each and every message. But as I read these words, I notice that the writer is not addressing preachers. He's not addressing the pastors of the world. He's not addressing the deacons. He's not addressing the leaders of the congregation. No, look at verse 19. What does it say in verse 19? Having therefore brethren. He's talking to all of you. He's talking to me. He's talking to all of God's children throughout all of time who come to know the Lord through His Word. Notice what it says in verse 24. Let us, the brethren, the sister, let us consider one another. Have you ever thought about how it is that you personally exhort the others here at Rescue? Mark our text here for just a moment in Hebrews, if you would, and turn over to the 122nd Psalm. Mark your text in Hebrews. Lord willing, I have time, I come back to it. And turn over to Psalms number 122. It's pretty obvious how a preacher exhorts the congregation, isn't it? I mean, pretty simple. How does John exhort the congregation? We bring a message. We study throughout the week, some more than others. I'm probably the lowest on that amount of time. I don't spend as much time as I'd like to. I don't spend as much time as I should. But I spend time considering what God would have me bring before you on a Sunday in hopes to encourage you as you go out of this building of worship, to encourage you as you walk before those around you in the world, to encourage you to put the things of your pride aside and to look to the one thing that you all should be looking to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's my desire, to exhort you, to encourage you. And that's pretty obvious. I mean, you come here and you listen to me every Sunday, every Friday night. We point you to Christ. We sing this song. You've heard it, I'm sure. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full on His wonderful face. And the world will turn strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Yes, we must bring out the total depravity of man. Nobody understands grace until they understand their depravity. The world loves to think more of themselves than they truly are. And you and I at one time did the very same thing. But along with depravity, when a true man of God brings out the word properly, pointing us to Jesus Christ and Him crucified, with that comes the grace of election. I mentioned it before the song. There's power in the blood. If God's blood was shed for you, you shall be saved. He's called Jesus for He shall save His people. And along with the grace of election comes the grace of limited atonement. That blood that was shed on the cross effectually saved every one of God's children. Not one single child of God will ever go to hell. The reason time still exists is because one of God's children have not been called from darkness yet. I have hopes for my children. Grace will reveal its irresistibility. Along with the power of the blood of God comes the power of His will. And if it's God's will to save His people, they shall be saved. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and those that come to me I shall in no wise cast out. And of course, we never leave out the grace of His preserving His people. If His blood was shed for you, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. I'm convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of my God, because my God rules over everything, including me. But our text is talking about all of us. Not just the preacher preaching these points and bringing exhortation to those of you. But what of you? What about you folks? Before the Lord made me the preacher here, what about me? What did I do to exhort my brothers and sisters in Christ, to build them up, to encourage them in the faith? Our text is talking about all of us, you and I, both. And I don't mean you exhorting me. I'm talking about, do we exhort each other? I'm not looking for your exhortation. It scares me to death when people walk out that door. What a great message you have, brother. I don't want that stuff to go to my head. I think about that every time. Those of you who have known me know how hard it was for me to stand at the back of the room before. And I pray the Lord never lets me get any easier at it. No, our text is talking about all of us. We are to exhort one another. The word means to call near, to invite, to invoke, to beseech, to call for, to comfort, to desire. King David was lifted up. A joy was raised in his heart when the people of God did something. Remember the words that we just read before in our text? In chapter 10, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Do you remember that? We just read that a moment ago. Look with me, if you would, at verse 1 of Psalms 122. I was glad when they, the people of God, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad? Are you glad to be here? Now, I'm not talking about getting up and waving your hands and making a big scene of things. You know better than that. But are you glad in your heart? Our conference will be wrapping up by this time next week. Our invitation to those pastors outside of our area begins Friday night. And our invitation to all of those around is to come. We send word out everywhere. We send bulletins. We send flyers out. I think the only thing we didn't do this year was we didn't put a notice in the local newspaper. I don't even know who reads newspapers anymore. Come to the feast. Come to the Lord's house. Hear the only peace that you're going to hear in the entire world, and that is the peace of God Almighty ruling everything in His sovereign will. Come to the feast and feast on Christ. It is here. Are you excited? I am. Not just because I'm standing here in this pulpit, but I've always been excited about the preachers coming here. It's always excited me when more people are coming to preach. Great. I love Pastor Gene. He's my pastor. Don't get me wrong. But it's always good to hear it from other people too. It confirms that my pastor's preaching the truth from the Scriptures. Come and hear other men preach the Word of God. Are you glad to come into the house of the Lord? Folks, if you're here this morning and you're here out of a feeling of dreaded necessity. In other words, if you're here because, if I don't go to church, how do I know that I'm saved? One of our brothers is missing this morning. Do you know who I'm talking about? James Looper. God bless that young man. He called me up, or he texted me, and he said, I'm sorry. You don't need to be sorry to John Reeves for anything. Ever. I'm sorry. I started a project tomorrow and I can't be here this morning. Praise the Lord, brother. God be with you as you go about taking care of that project you need to do, and God bless whatever it is you need to do today. He misses being here. Isn't that amazing? It blows me away. He misses being here. He can't wait to be here Friday night. I can't wait for Friday night. How about you? Are you here this morning under obligation to yourself to prove that you're saved? If that's the case, then something is wrong. Worship services are a time of refreshment. We drudge through the mud and the muck of this earth all week long. In a world that does not know God, today we're in the house of the Lord with people who know the Lord. And that brings joy to my heart. Again, I'm not encouraging you to jump up and down and flap around, bringing attention to yourself or being destructive and distracting to those others that are here. But I am saying this: salvation to a sinner is a joyous thing. Is there joy in your heart? Are you like David when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord? A true sinner of God, a true sinner of this world who has seen their sin revealed to them by the Holy God, takes great joy in going into the house of God where there is mercy.
Amen.
Where there is grace. I've had some really good employers in my life, but not one has ever showed mercy and grace like my Savior has. Not one of them has ever been long-suffering like my Savior has. I don't know about you folks, but long-suffering is a really, 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 really good word for John Reeves. When one has had the depth of what they are, a sinful creature before a thrice holy God, salvation becomes our greatest desire. I want to hear about it. I want to hear about it. And I want to hear about it. Because I don't hear about it in the world. The only place I see salvation is in my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom is worshipped on Sunday mornings and Friday evenings in this very building that He has given us. The house of the Lord is where we hear of this salvation. And I'm glad to see you folks are here. I'm glad to see that you have come. I am exhorted, encouraged to see God is still doing a work of salvation in His people. Calling His chosen people unto Himself through the preaching of His Word, because that's what it says in His Bible. That's what it says in His Word, that He calls His people by the preaching of His Word. If no one showed up this morning, including my wife, I would have doubts. I would have doubts of what I'm doing here. Wouldn't you? If you walked through these doors and nobody was here, wouldn't you stop and think to yourself, what am I doing here? There's nothing going on. There's no worship here. But that's not the case, is it? Each and every one of you are here this morning exhorting one another just by being here. I'll give you an example of that. And I know she's on the line along with Jeffrey right now, watching us live via Zoom, joining us. Don and Shirley Jukic moved away to be with their friends in Arizona, a place where they could afford to retire and live after California took most of all their money. And they live down there where there is no gospel preaching. And they've shared with me over the time that they've been down there that they would listen to messages either on sermon audio or however they could. But when we put together this Zoom thing and started broadcasting live down there, they couldn't wait to jump on and join us. Jeffrey would come over. He lived next door. You remember Jeffrey and Sharon. Jeffrey lost his wife a little over a year ago. And I think a little time ago. And he would come over. And they join every Friday night. They come to the house of worship. They exhort those who are sitting in the room, whether it be on Friday night Bible study or here this morning, because we know that they're here worshiping our God with us. I'm glad when somebody says, I'm going down to the house of the Lord and worship, because that's where I want to be too.
Amen.
Look at your brothers and sisters in Christ who have come to feast the Jubilee. God has brought His sheep in to graze in green pastures here this morning. Turn over, if you would, with me. Turn over with just a few pages to the left to the 23rd Psalm. I bet you there's a whole bunch of people here this morning who could read this Psalm without ever even looking at the words in Scripture. But what a wonderful psalm to sing and to praise and to read at any time. Psalms number 23, read along with me, will you? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Folks, that's what we're doing here this morning. We're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. That's our lives and the world around us. Those who hate our God. Those who say, I will not have that God rule over me. The very ones who say those words, just like you and I once said. But by the grace of God, we have come to know who and what we are. And now we can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Is that because we just got smarter? Is that because one day I just decided, you know, I'm tired of doing all these dumb things in the world. I'm going to start going to church. I'm going to start worshiping the true and living God. No. It's because God came to me when I was dead in trespasses and sin and gave me life and faith in His Son, our Lord and Savior. And He's done that for each and every one of us. Do you ever get tired of hearing that? I don't. What comfort we see in this song. And that's what a psalm is. It's a song. Turn over to Ezekiel. Turn to the right. Several pages over to Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34. Our Lord is not done searching out His sheep. That's why time continues. Somewhere in time, somewhere in the world, God has a child of God, just like you and I were, that needs to come across one of His preachers and hear the truths of His Word. Now, they're not lost in His eyes. He knows everything. He knows exactly where they are in time and place. He knows exactly where the minister is that He will have cross the path. In fact, He guides everything so that minister and that lost sheep will come together one day, and that lost sheep will be called out of darkness and given life to come forth. He knows where they are. They just don't know that they are His sheep yet. They are blind, dead, lame, and do not seek the one that heals. Just as you and I were not seeking the true and living God, yet He sought me, He found me, He brings His loved ones under the sound of His Word, and He says, come, follow me. Come, Lazarus, come forth. John Reeves, Julie Ellis, Mike Loveless, all of you folks, come forth, He says to His people. And by the power of God, we come forth. John chapter 10, verse 27 through 30, we read these words, again, very familiar. We're going to be in Ezekiel. You need, don't turn to John. You can if you want me. But my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. To a lost sheep, this is a joyous thing. The blind man told all of what had happened to him. And they all came to him afterwards. Pastor Gene and I were talking about this. He told the Sanhedrin, I was blind, and now I see. Well, who did that to you? That guy. That guy that people are calling Jesus. Well, we don't believe you. We know you're the guy that's sitting at the gates. We've seen you all your life sitting there blind asking for alms. But we don't believe you that that's who saved you. So he went to the parents. Who saved your son? We don't know. This man told all. He says, I don't know who or how or why, but he said this, once I was blind and now I see. Every one of us were that way. We were all blind and dead in our sins, but the Lord gave us life. Look at verses 11 through 15 of Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus saith the Lord God. Now listen to this. And I want you to read along as you're reading along with me on these words. Tell me, is there anything in these words that man can do? For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places, of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day, And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Amen. I am encouraged to see the sheep in this pasture. This very place of green pasture. This very place of still waters where the Lord God Almighty is preached in truth. And every one of God's children here this morning are encouraged by the same thing. If you showed up here and there was nobody here, how disappointing that would be. But our Lord says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I shall be in their midst. Now look back at our text in Hebrews chapter 10. I am encouraged to see the sheep in this pasture. I am delighted to see God's not done yet. Maybe there is another. Maybe there is another right here in this area that the Lord has yet to call. Are you back in Hebrews chapter 10 with me? Look at verse 12. But this man, it says, this man, this one who is our high priest, this one who says in verse 9, then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he must establish a second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. This man, after he had offered one sacrifice, the sacrifice of himself for the sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, verse 14, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. And after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds, and will write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of sins is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest of holies by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, our high priest sits on his throne this very day, sprinkling the blood of himself on himself, our mercy seat. How do we exhort one another? By holding fast to the profession of our faith. Look at verses 23 through 25 once again. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. Hold fast to the profession of your faith. Provoke one another unto love. And don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as so much more as the day we see, the day approaching. Folks, God's grace is greater than all of our sin. that should encourage you. To see God's people come together, worshiping our Lord together. I can't imagine what it'd be like to go off and worship in a cave all by yourself. God's people are encouraged when we assemble together in the praise of His name. Will you stand with me, please? Turn to page